Good morning, honorable members and also the staff colleagues this afternoon. My name is Lori Sipi, I'm the committee secretary. I'm dealing with apologies for today. We got an apology from the minister who is going to run. She just left this morning, and also the deputy minister who attended the checklist from the committee. And all they got an apology from honorable charges who is in the town. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning to everybody. My name is Manda Isaac Khadi. I'm a member of the committee. I am from the ECK.
Remember, also, thank you, you are fully serious about it.
Good morning, I am member of committee representing Lampalpa.
Good morning, I'm Captain Biscotti, I'm representing Lampalpa.
Good morning, my name is Project Masanta, representing Hampi, member of the committee.
Good morning, members. My name is Olisa Mashini. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning. My name is Julia Hoffman. I'm the Senior Executive ECM and Transformation in Singapore.
Good morning. My name is John Colodier. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of that.
Good morning, members. I'm Kukulatun Duane, a senior manager of strategy planning and performance at APCO.
Hello, good morning, members. My name is Mohammed Khalid Sayed. I'm a parliamentary liaison officer in the Ministry of Public Enterprises. Let me also add that the Deputy Director General is supposed to be here, but we got a call this morning to say that the flight was delayed, so we'll be in the next 15 to 20 minutes. Thank you very much.
Good morning, I'm Verena Babata. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, my name is Elbo Khan. I'm from the Parliamentary
Good morning, I am Louis Sintiusi. Good morning, my name is Amanda Sintiusi. I'm the Committee Assistant to the Committee.
Good morning, I'm David Lisa, I'm the Executive Secretary to the Chairman.
Thank you. Hi.
Good morning, my name is Ali from Yarshot. I'm a member of the ANC, member of the public, and appointed by the public to come do oversight over the people that's doing oversight.
Thank you for the introduction. Now we know who are we working with. Before we start our business, I'm going to go over to Reza Khai.
Thank you, officer. Adapted the apology of the person, but I didn't get the apology of the standard board member.
We were of the opinion that the CEO was the one who introduced the petition. We were not in a position to invite the other. But he also, before he could introduce it, he tried to get hold of the other, but he couldn't because of other advocacies. But we were really not expecting that the whole there was there. We will justify that petition.
Thank you. We can start our business of the day. I'm adopting the minutes of the previous meeting, thank you. The minutes before you, members. Next one, I put before you two, three, four, five and seven. Any corrections? If not, can I get someone who can propose the adoption for a minute? Name five, propose, second, five. Can we head over to the department up to the staff in the group to come and give the presentation? Please, over to you, thank you.
I think the three is going to we are going to follow and see what you know. We are of the opinion that the sector is largely misunderstood and that it does bring in about 35.5 billion rand into the GDP. And it takes into consideration 1.6% of the total GDP of the country and also 7.7% of the manufacturing GDP. We primarily are in the round with 6% of 35.5%. But also if you look at the employment numbers that come from forestry, the numbers are quite significant. And there is a level of export, it's about 14 billion rand, but that's only for pulp and paper, and that's not where the core offers. And we have 2013 figures that we got from forestry about. So it's all part of the research that we've done. What is also important is that we need to look at the fact that Stockholm growth is supported by a number of government imperatives. One of which is the fact that we are part of BRICS and we know that some of the BRICS countries are quite a big consumer of our products. The National Development Plan was taken into consideration when we're looking at our own planning going forward. And there's whole issue around the Africa Rising narrative that there is a lot of opportunities into Africa and that Stockholm can participate in those. As well as issues around economic growth, but the most important one is around the beneficiation of our own raw material and also growing and manufacturing, because that's how you grow wealth, how you create more movement into the economy. But also we are watching and aligning with the infrastructure development programs of government with our resources to the world over and clear. And if you look to your right hand side, what we thought was important is to just show the other products that can come out of our trust, which is the stream, but we do not participate in all of those, and we just wanted to flag that to the committee. If we move to the next slide, we're talking about who SAFCOL is, and SAFCOL is the South African Forestry Company Limited, and it is 100% owned by the state in South Africa. And then part of SAFCOL is a subsidiary, but there's one subsidiary that we use to trade, which is called Machinery Forest. It stays, well, it stays wherever we are operating in the three provinces. But also as part of that, we have Diploma. Diploma is our subsidiary in Mozambique that we acquired about 11 years ago. Diploma is 8% owned by us as a South African subsidiary, and the other 20% of the company is owned by the government of Mozambique. We do have other subsidiaries that are almost done, and two that we have today is Kamsabane and Afakhan. Of importance to the committee would be the four that we call associates, the four in brown. This is when SAFCOL was privatized. And when SAFCOL was privatized, the state decided to leave a share in each of those companies under the guidance of SAFCOL for the benefit of community. So if you look to the left, it's called Siakoma Forest, it's in AZN. The Amatole Company, as well as the Simbuti Forest, are both in the Eastern Cape. And then the NCO Forestry Company is here in the Western Cape. And those percentages are what is left now on behalf of a community that SAFCOL holds in those companies. The board of directors of SAFCOL is headed by Dr. Thomas Dakimoni, who is the interim chair, and the other members who have been with the board for the last 5 years, and then there's three new other board members that joined, I think, about a year and a half ago. No, I think she just abandoned the presentation on the screen.
Yeah, I knew the audience was that one.
All right, so the board members.
Okay.
And the following slide shows the EXCO, which is the decision-making level at SACO, which is headed by the CEO, myself, and the COO, Franz Abelias, the CFO, Lolita Machini, and the senior executive for human resources, platform called human capital management and transformation, William Hasubi. If you look at the mandates of SACOL, I'm moving on to the next slide. If you look at the mandates of SACOL, it's about making sure that we conduct our forestry business, which includes timber harvesting, processing, and related activities, both domestically and internationally. That was the original mandate that was given to SACOL. The vision, the mission, and the core values, and if you look at all these, it's about the community, it's about how we can make a difference in the areas where we operate. And I'm not going to go through the vision, mission, and values. The company has identified four strategic pillars, one being horizontal integration, the other one being vertical integration, rural development, and this whole space about green energy that's coming to the fore. If you talk about horizontal integration, it's really talking about expanding within the same area where perhaps if you have plantations that belong to death, for instance, that are not properly planted, then maybe we can get more land and also buy more land from the private sector to make sure that we extend our area of operation. But if you look at this kind of information, it comes very close to the beneficiation that the government talked about, where we are saying SAFCOL should not only be planting, harvesting, and selling, because currently that's the business model of SAFCOL, and it's not a very sustainable business model. It's not a very sustainable business model, and therefore we need to make sure that we can appreciate, because in that sense, we are creating jobs and industries down the value chain. So fortunately, the public has given us to go ahead to go into the kind of situation, and that's the strategy that we're following. With regard to rural development, SAFCOL operates in the rural area. Wherever we have forestry, it's in the rural area. And we are the engine of those rural economies. and we make sure that we deal with communities, we create a job base, and in many instances, if you remove that call from some areas, there's no opportunity for jobs. So that's quite important, and what we've now decided to do is to focus on looking into the whole agroforestry industry where you can use the land both for agriculture as well as forestry, but also that we're using our partnership with the community quite well. And we are in the process of establishing manufacturing centers already. We started in one of our areas, a guest manufacturing hub where we train young people and we're already produce about 1,000 guests, which have given away to the rural schools in the area. So, but in terms of that, that's going to be a business leg going forward. If you look at the green energy, we are looking at the coal generation, which means that if you have a sawmill, which we do in the north, in Bogo, then we want to try and create our own electricity by using what is called leftover. It is not waste, So we want to make sure that we create our own energy to run our own sawmill, that if there's leftover, we can either sell to the grain or to other customers in the area. So that's an interesting area. We have done studies. They have proven that they will be positive and already moving in that direction. But of course, there's the only issue around using our own biomass and later on getting to biofuel. With respect to our operations, we are present in South Africa in three provinces. It is important to note that Sasco used to be a national company at some stage. This is before the implementation to privatize some of the pocket. So, and some of that were privatized and are now left with a port area in KZN, a bigger area in Mpumalanga, and another area in Limpopo. So SACCO operates in three areas, in three provinces, in that sense. Globally, we have 187,000 hectares of land that we are managing, and part of this is about 121,000 hectares that we have in the country. But also, we have this partnership with Mozambique, where we own company there, and we have about 22,000 hectares there that we're working on. There's about four plantations and another big piece of land that has been available to us by the Mozambican government for purposes of expansion. We must also just state that this asset in Mozambique is really not for profit making, and we have been managing it and running it using our own money from this company there. So it does have an effect in that, and the board is in the process of reviewing what it is that it do with the assets going forward. The main subsidiary, which is KLF, I think I've spoken to this slide in some way, but what is important to note is that SACCO has 93% pine, and the other 7% is around the other hardwoods that is planted. And it is important to also state that pine is grown over a period of 30 years. So in 2023 today, you will harvest it in the year 25, 6, 27, around 50 years. That's how it works. And so forestry is a long-term business, and it's important that whoever is running or is responsible for forestry in the country does not take short-term decisions. Because sometimes we find ourselves under pressure where people are saying you're not making enough profit. What's going on, and yet we know that we can make the profit in the short term, but we will be doing things that the next people who come after us will find nothing to run. So we are very sustainably focused as a company. So if you look at the land use, in terms of those lines there, but we've commercially planted in some of them. Pine is the south of our area, and we've divided our area into three sections, the north, central, and high south. It also just to say that we are the largest producer of high quality saw logs in Southern Africa. If you look at SACCO, when I talk SACCO and I talk KLF, you know, I'm talking about the same company, that KLF is our trading company. We do have high quality, high value saw logs, and I'm moving up to slide number 10. Slide number 10 talks to what we have in Mozambique, and I've also mentioned this as well. It is a starting entity at this point in time, but we focus on what we call care and maintenance. We put that as care and maintenance so that we don't lose the assets, we look after it. When there's fires, we fight the fires, etc. But we make sure that we don't spend a whole lot more money there without having done proper due diligence in terms of quality. The next slide, number 11, talks to the core operations of SACCO. There's a forestry side, which starts with a very good research and development section that we have in-house. We also have links with nurseries in-house, and we produce seedlings attaching for ourselves, but also for the other companies in the industry. So some people also buy from us. And we also have the capacity to do some real interesting studies in terms of what species to use and that our genus can be used by the other companies. Now then we plant the next level is to plant and establish the forest. And the next layer is what we call tending and protection, and the value adding activities around thinning and pruning. Simply put, thinning means if you plant in trees, because you plant in these biological assets, like a system, so some of them will die, some of them will live. So you want to give them enough time. So you plant more a hectare than you will require. So you need to keep that level of which ones are going to die and you can take them out. But also, you need to then start as they grow taller. You need to take some out, that is called thinning, because you need to give the strong ones room to grow. Because the tree is about the size instead of that. So that's one thing, but it costs money. It's a cost effect. And then the other one is pruning, the weed room, where if you see the kind, some people call it not too kind because it's got a knot. So when it's got an obstacle to touch high levels, because we haven't done what we're supposed to have done. So what we do at Subcon is we do the pruning, so that our kind is smooth, it's clear, and you can use it for veneer, you can use it for plywood, and that's high quality. The problem with that is you spend the money on the side, creating high value products, but you don't have the market that absorbs that at the right price. So you then end up selling what you create in high value, and that's the result. So those are the issues that we're dealing with. Hence, kind of in looking at structure systems, why don't you put up a plywood plant? Okay. So those are the issues. Then we also do what we call shifting operations, where we harvest and sell. Here is the big problem, that's called harvest, making 100% of the raw material. And someone else asked me to please explain what is a log, you know, what is lumber. So some people may don't understand. Log is basically the round tree that you cut, so that's a log. Then it becomes lumber when you change it into a sawmill, and then you cut it into lumber. So that's the thing. So what we do at Subcon is we sell 75% of our raw logs. Yeah? And then we only beneficiate and process 25%. You cannot be sustainable if your model is like that. Because you are at the mercy of the buyer, and they actually give you the price, you have price data, and any given time you have other issues. Because where else do you go? So Subcon is now beginning to say, okay, why don't you send this around? We process at least 75% of the raw log, we sell the other 25%, because we don't want to share with anybody else who relies on you, especially in the state owned company. So those are the issues that we are at. And if you look at the transportation, we then sell, we transport the log to hand. And if I move over to the number 12, the other slide talks about the next leg of Subcon business. In the processing, where we take them, so we just sell them at roadside. So we take roadside, we have it, we bring it to the roadside, so the person comes and collects it now. But we take it roadside. Otherwise, we deliver, so it becomes a problem to take it to the terminal. And then also, then when you get to the terminal, whether it's our terminal or private sector terminal, the log sorting, then you do the debarking, and then also some of them take it into the wet mill. Some of them dry it in vinyl, and then it becomes higher value product. Then we take it in chips. If it becomes chips, we sell it in chips because we use it to boil it, and then it becomes part of the fuel. Otherwise, we can then cut it as wet board into lumber, and then we go through by the grind to use it for construction. So problem with Subcon is, if the construction industry is down, our market also follows that because we are so dependent on the one market. So that's why it's important that we start to look at how else can we use the tree. We can then move on to slide number 13, where we wanted to talk about the financial health of our core. We have not been recapitalized since we were started. We do not get any funding from government whatsoever. We basically have lived within our own means, make sure that the company works, and also do all the many good things that we will hear about later on. But also, last financial year, which is the year we're reporting on now, 2014, we achieved the highest revenue in terms of revenue income in the last 5 years. Because what we did do is, maybe I should have mentioned this, the whole school there is practicing Wushu. I joined 2.5 years ago. Bolivia joined 1.5 years ago. Korea was just 2 months before I did. Canada is the longest serving member at Expo. I've been with the company for what we call 21 years now. So there's a lot of experience there and a lot of the history of the company. And Ugo, we appointed Ugo tonight, he came after us. So it's important to understand that we don't want to understand what is the company about, what's going on here. So we went back 10 years and said, let's take a look at where are the highest points, where are the lowest points, what caused that. So we're able to change and how to change something if you don't understand. So last year we then, in the last 5 years of the business, we achieved the highest revenue. But all our cash flow increased by 69 million year on year. And in terms of our own local assets, we first pretty undervalued. We revalued it and then it came up to 3.27 million. This is now the trees on the land, not the land. The land does not belong to us. So this is the value of the trees that is put on the land. And we believe this is an important indicator in that it tells you that you are looking for the asset very well. If you grow your asset, then your asset goes well. We also received an unqualified audit opinion last year. But I want to make the point that our operating costs remain extremely high. It is a concern for the business because even though the revenue did go up, the cost itself has also been going up. And this is a problem in terms of profitability for the business. Thank you for saying what do you do with this business, because we cannot continue to do the same thing we've done, otherwise we're going to get the same results or worse. We have some strong points. If you look at the next slide, where if you look at the certification that is endorsed by SAPCOS, there is something called the certification where they come in. It's called Forest Security Council. They come into your land, they look at your practices, your labor practices, your environmental practices, are you sustainable? Do you do the right thing in terms of planning for children? And then they give you the certification. And every year, you run the risk of losing it if your practices are not done. So we get audited every year and they come. So we have to be certified, and we also try to do the same thing in Mozambique. It took a long time to get to that level. We are a business that is looking to grow and also looking at new opportunities. The point I made earlier on about how we grow our last diameter of over 60 years or 15 years, it just shows the kind of level that we go through. With respect to tax, we have obtained an 82.76% in terms of compliance score last year. We're always looking to improve because that talks to how it is right now in our business. But in terms of the internal environmental and safety audits, we conduct these as operational units and we are quite satisfied with the results. We are a leader, if you like, in the socio-economic development side of things. We really have come up with some really great partnership models that we are in the process of getting the other stakeholders to kind of emulate and replicate, because we've done this so well over time, and the communities around our traditions also give us good feedback on that. But we'll actually talk about it a bit later. We have identified a number of challenges and risks for the business. The first one being that what has been happening in the last few years now is that because we work with a biological asset, we then say, with respect to planning, if you want to be sustainable over 50 years, maybe the next rotation period, you have to cut 1.5 million cubic meters per annum. Because rivers are the log in cubic meters. So we then say, if you cut this, this is how the business was paid. So what we found now is that as we cut the 1.5 million cubes, they are not selling, and the market does not absorb it. Last year we left 200,000 on the ground, we couldn't sell. And then you would spend the money to cut them, you've done all these things, but then you can't sell, the market is just not absorbing them. So that's a big issue, big risk for us. So what do we do? Perhaps we should look at other markets also. If we can then maybe do the export, that's what we're talking about. But also the issue around land claims. Land claims are not in the jurisdiction of that. For example, cannot do anything about resolving land claims. What we've done though is to say to the community who have land claims on our land, let's talk about how you can become a partner to SAPCOS when you get the land. We want the people to get the land back, but we're also saying how best can you do it together. But it's a risk for the company if they're not set up or there's no proper settlement model. The Competition Commission issues, we have spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort trying to, because the private sector, when we don't take their way with our pricing, etc., they take us to the Competition Commission. And then we spend money trying to spend yourself time explaining your business model. And this is a big issue for us, a big risk and a big challenge. I've spoken about the business model, and we do believe that we're now doing something about it. There also has been an issue around skill development and affecting and retaining people because of our level of pay, because we're not as competitive in the industry. So people would rather go look for someone else rather than come and work for us. Because we, even within it, the FOC, we're not remunerated at the same or similar level as the other people. We also believe that the industry itself and also the forestry industry is totally underappreciated and poorly understood. And that the role of SAFOL in the forestry industry in itself could be maybe heightened, maybe increase the work of what it do, so that while we compete on price and on business and on profitability, etc., we take the leadership as the state-owned company that says, how do you make the whole industry successful? We do have high operational costs as a company, which is something that management is dealing with at every level. And the top line there is labor, it's the human resource cost, cost of employment. We do suffer a number of fires just last year, this current financial year. At last count, we already suffered 564 fires in all our plantations, and this is from April 1, not from January 1. So we have fires all the time, and you know when there's a fire, you have to spend money, number one, which is to make sure that you extinguish the fire, but also you lose that product. So you also have to cut it. So there are a whole lot of things, but this one is the challenge, and your risk will be with us for a long time. I'm now on slide number 15, and I have to ask this pause here, if you can see. And ask Leanne Bosnizi to take us through this process and also maybe explain the stage of the presentation.
Starting with stage 16, we are the company running a number of projects that we initiated. When we talk about our enterprise development and transformation projects. What we have done in the last 4 years is that we have a proper enterprise development. We have started cooperatives. We currently have about 16 cooperatives. The initial cooperatives that we started with small scale where we would organize community members to form a business, and they concentrated on cleaning, gardening. And we actually had to show that it is sustainable. But then we have realized that programs don't work very well, and we are trying to help them with the government strategies on moving into large-scale enterprises. So we are at a point where we are starting to ensure that we have a commercial and community project, and we have, like Mr. has indicated, area that we have started at the manufacturing hub where we train 20 interns or learners into this to produce this, and now they are actually producing this that we are donating. We intend to make sure that we start a business with them that is super commercial. We also in team of frame structure, we want to make sure that we can infrastructure we can use in team of. And as the transport team, because we are putting a lot of our logs using transport, we intend to, and we have already added two enterprises to this a target. And the intention is to make sure that as many enterprises move into bigger business development. On page 17, we have in the last 4 or 5 years, we've spent about 85 million on socio-economic development. Just last year, we spent 20.6 million. And the money is donated to communities adjacent to our planting. And we have formed what we call JDF with those communities, where we come together and agree on which projects they want us to build for them. So we have built schools, classrooms, have built complete schools, We have assisted with community equipment, we have built a whole terminal space charging system and stuff for the community. Most of the projects that we have done recently we have made sure that we're using a Singapore infrastructure to assist it. On employment equity, we have worked very hard to ensure that we get representation into the company as required by the WCPS. We have put a number of programs in place, infrastructure planning, on talent management and on supporting leadership development to ensure that the top management, senior management, as well as professionally qualified employees are more representative. And we think that we are making a progress in that area. On human resource management, the internal projects that we're doing for the company, in the last year, we have made sure that we transform the human resource department by ensuring that we increase the job profiles, we're accelerating the development of managers and professionals. We have put in place a low performance management system because we are of the view that performance management system will assist us to drive the strategy in the company. We have implemented a new health and wellness program for all employees. We have also clinics. So far we have two clinics for our own employees that are also used by communities as a center of transition, and we also have mobile clinics so that our own employees can benefit from to health. We are very strong on learning and development. We're providing materials to youth in the communities as well as our employees, and we ensure that we reach 100% learning in the family. I talked about skill development, but just to quickly go through some of the projects that we have done. As you can see, we have 78 learners who are on a learning program, 34 who are doing 10 and 30 who are doing excellent. We are also focused on ensuring that we train communities around our plantation. Just 100 community members are trained every year on different programs that assist the communities. But also because we know that most of the communities are land drainage, and there is a point in time where they will have to get land. We are trying to ensure that we get them skills that will help them to understand how to run a forestry industry.
Thank you very much. If we go through the land change section, approximately or at least 90% of the land that we use for our operations is unintended change. So hence this is one of the bigger challenges that the company is facing. But also we want to make sure that the land change are resolved. We are on record in that matter. We would like to have them resolved and that we are an affected partner necessarily, because we can't do anything about resolving it. But then what we said was, how can we work with the communities in the meantime? And the board has actually approved a segment model that we are workshopping with the Department of Rural Development and NORDEC and all the other stakeholders. And we will even take this down to the communities where we say to them, this is how we think this could go ahead. And they've given their own input. They said, we don't like this floor, we like this one, why don't you do it this way? So at least we have a model now that we can put in front of the potential partner. What must also be important to note in this committee is that in the past, if you look at the four companies that we spoke about where we have the shareholding or on behalf of communities, what has been the problem is that the communities, they are only share at core, which is actually four exercise of business. Nobody really is money at that. The money is made at verification and after the exchange. So it's important that when we get into these community projects, we make sure that people benefit throughout the company, because they can legitimately say that this one is losing money and therefore nobody gets benefits, but yet the benefits are after the venture. So that's important to note as we get into community models of offsetting. So we have also said that we would like to be the preferred partner of choice, because what happens is, even as we speak, we have other companies in the forestry industry going to the community where we have land, and they say, please leave a call, come and partner with us. We'll give you the coverage, etc., etc. So it's an issue that we also work on quite considerably. The following slide talks to those chains.
And it's about 32 trains in the land that we are operating on. They are at various stages of resolution. 14 of them have recent trains. 18 have been transacted, and then that means negotiations can start. And then 3 in Limpopo, we're hoping to use them as a model or a pilot that we can say, if this goes well, we use our model, then we can replicate in all the areas. So that is the state or the state of the main thing in that area. We thought it was important to talk about the shares that you spoke about there, because the shares in this community is currently worth about 372 million rand, and this is as the 31st of March 2014. And that SAFCO is looking at who is the best, or which one is the best entity of government to hold the shares, because as they're sitting at SAFCO, the issues around conflict, where the company is saying, but you are a competitor, why is it on my board looking after these, so it doesn't make sense anyway. So we are talking to the DPE, has been asking us about what is the best way to do this. So our board is now going to consider a paper as to exactly what's the best way to do this. But the NEF has been mentioned as a potential holder of this chair. Because of the Type 24, there's because of the settlement model that we've got, and that Section 1 is the lease back model, where we're leasing the land, and that the community as well participate and get benefits of the rental. But at the same time, that they are part of this for two rotations. The rotation will take 35 years. So, and then over two rotations, there's sustainability, and after which maybe we can step down and then they can take over. But also it's important that SAFCO is saying if we then partner with you, we can then make sure that the raw material is guaranteed so that the business continues. And at the end of the second rotation, the parties may then renegotiate new terms, or they could then say no, now we can do this on our own, we can do it. But also we're saying together with the Department of Rural Development and the Land Claim Commission, we need to start training people now in the business of running the forest business, so that when they take over, we don't see what we see in the country in other areas where, you know, the rent becomes shallow and people lose money. So it's important that we train them at that area. There is another option too that is also being workshopped. The one around strategic partnerships, the point made area that they must benefit throughout the business, not only in one area. If you look at the next slide, talks of the benefits of the first option and the next one, I'm not really going to go through those, and then the implications of each one of the areas. So then also there's the first thing I want to talk about is the obligation to pay this rental on the land that we use. Even currently, we have to pay this rental on the land. And as you say, currently the market-related rental on the table is 48 million rand per annum. We are behind, we have paid for previous years, but on the 1st of April, we will be writing a check to the trust, because this one gets paid to death, and death puts it into a trust, which trust is going to spread the money in terms of the community. So SAFCO has to pay 48 million rand. This is now the current land that we're using. Every year, that's what we pay. So we will be paying, and I know that the DDG, Mr. Katasa Sakun, will be working later on. He is a part of that. He's always a conscience of SAFCO says when I'm paying this kind of money. So that's something that we have now put a date to it. We will be paying it for the 1 year. Okay, so the risk and challenges, we can take those as well. Unless members would like to raise specific questions for those. And this one is like, I'm now in slide 29. Look at that slide, it's a very telling slide for the business of SAFCO. On the left is the industry in terms of the log. The industry is 68% on house log. We are only at 10% of what the industry wants. And we believe on what the industry does as well. If you look at our solar of 88%, and therefore the industry or market-wise about 60%. So for us, it says we have to change this model. We really realize that we need to move and change the business model. I would love to make them change today for and allow the chief financial officer to take us through the financial part of the presentation.
Thank you for your. I'm now applying KTIP, which provides a synopsis of financial performance after this year's event of March 2014. I think as I alluded to earlier on by CEO, we had the highest revenue in the past 5 years. Our revenue increased by 5% from the prior year, with a focus on product mix as well as price. Now, if you look at the cost of sales line, we had an increase of about 69 million. And maybe, yes, we've got an increase in overhead, but I think the main driver in there from the 2018 year, we had land lease rentals of 17 million. In 2014, we then started paying the 48 million, so basically we had absorbed that cost increase. In terms of operating expenses, we focused in the 2014 year to maintain and basically focus on cost savings initiatives, and that would be a drop in operating expenses. On page 31, it provides the profit, net profit, and operating profit view. You'll note that the GP margins obviously have decreased as a result of the increase in the cost of sales line. Net profit, on the other hand, increased significantly. The CEO mentioned earlier on that we embarked on an exercise to value our biological assets, and that basically is a significant drive of that line. If you now discount that and look at the operating profit line, that obviously was very much under pressure. So the revenue line, as much as it increased, it did not increase as significant as your operating and your cost of development. If you move on to slide 32, I can give you a view of the income statement. I think this has the various line items that I've just alluded to earlier on, basically the revenue line, cost of sales line, as well as the fair value adjustment details. On slide 33, we basically show you the balance sheet, and I think what is very important to note for the committee is the minority shareholding portion, which is basically sitting as a fresh line. It increased from 2018 to 37 million. And in 2014 it was based at 2 million. So it's basically those four entities that we highlighted earlier. In the next slide, which is slide 34, we give you a view of the cash flow performance. With an increase in cash of 69 million from 162 to 232. With obviously a much more focused increase on the cash flow from operating activities line, which is a 78 million increase year on year. In the next slide, we show you, I think progressively over the past 5 years, just charting cash flow from operations as well as cumulative cash flows. People will note that, I mean, from 2010 and even earlier on, in an entity, we were really much under pressure from a cash flow point of view. So it's very much a concerted and focused effort to say how to make sure that we are on the cash positive note. Slide 36 talks to how we performed from an audit point of view. In the 2016 year, we received a qualified audit opinion, predominantly in three areas. One was around the how the accounts forget, one was around EBT. And the third one was around the biological assets, verification, netting exercise. And all those three areas were resolved by the 2014 year. We did report on other elements in our 2014 audit report. One was a loss which we incurred within the diploma operation where fraudulent activities were identified. Now 800,000 of that needed was recovered. All those employees were taken to a disciplinary and they have since been dismissed from the company. There has been other evidence where the company needs to, I think, focus going forward. I think one of them was when National Treasury introduced the new cost containment instructions. One of those was the cancellation of the use of credit cards as well as debt cards. Now we note that we have 18, 19 plantations in rural areas, very much dispersed, and some of these means of payment, we use them obviously because we are remotely located, so instead of getting time, we're able to transact in the plantation. So yes, we had to go back to National Treasury, I think after a number of engagements, we came up with an alternative solution. Also, I think there were some findings around how we depict certain aspects of our corporate plan, and with the instance revised. So there were also, I think, elements around procurement, which is probably the biggest focus area now this year going forward, where we are looking at procurement processes, procurement policies, and how to measure that team. We clean up the procurement team. I'll now hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, everyone. We're now in the last slide. But before we get to the last slide, we do want to say that as this executive has spent the last 2.5 to 3 years cleaning up a lot of the legacy issues in the company. And some of this includes and involves cleaning up agreements and processes that were done before our time, which were affecting the company negatively. So we are now at the status quo where we believe that we can then take the company forward in terms of moving forward, growing the company, growing the revenue, making sure that it has the things that it has. But there was a lot that we could clean out, including issues around area of corruption, including areas around fraud and theft that has been happening over a long period of time and going undetected, and therefore as you deal with that matter, you also get a lot of pushback from some of the people because they want to continue to do the things they've done. So we do have a declared no or zero tolerance to corruption and abuse of state assets, etc. And that's a philosophy that we're running the company. If you look at the last slide, in terms of the outlook, when we do processes and services, we look at three areas, which is what we have contracted with the shareholder. The shareholder wants us to make sure that there's financial information of the facility, but also that we manage the forestry area sustainably, but also the enhanced development contribution in the rural area, etc. So when we do projects, we make sure that those all those options. So if you look at the Timbadola in the Popo, we have forestry contained as well as a sawmill, and we are now looking to approve the sawmill, because that sawmill is a very old sawmill, and it needs to be expanded. I mean, maybe let me share if you can listen down here for 5 minutes. I'd like to hand over to the Chief Operating Officer. Just take us through just the four areas so that at least can do the thing. Over to you, sir.
Timbadola operates an old sawmill that started in the 50s, not long ago. We've been running it ever since. It's employed a lot of people on site. It's our biggest sawmill in the Popo, and it is currently in general. It has come unpopular because of the economies of scale that caught up with it. In international terms, there is a relatively small sawmill. It was built for 55,000 cubic meters. We've increased intake volume to 130,000 cubic currently per annum. But in international terms, people are running a sawmill at 1 million cubic meters as well. And that's also what other people are doing in South Africa at the moment. Hence my comment about economies of scale. The plans are to increase the throughput to the sawmill. We have no options but to purchase in that area. We have no customers. We are locked that can take the quantities of locks that we have available in that area. And of course, we have to look after the equipment of our people and well being of our people that have been there and loyal to us for many years. Part of that upgrade is not only stupid announcements, but also things like cogeneration, as the CEO has explained briefly, generates electricity again from our byproducts, especially the chips and things like that that comes out of the dorm. Also, to add other enhancements to the operational side of the business over there, that will make it more sustainable going into the future and to extract maximum value out of our logs. Then the export of logs. Currently, as RTO has mentioned, we do not realize the full value and the potential value of our very expensive and rare commodity that we have. And that is a 3-year-old food logs that's been rolled, looked after, between the two people protected them with their lives for 50 years. If you take into account the number of fires, pests, diseases, and everything else that they go through in this 50-year period. We then end up with quite a large log, and we do not realize the full value for it. In that, the log that we have realized is in direct competition with the smaller log that you can go over a short period of time. Whilst we are then looking at our other opportunities and what to do with these very expensive, or what should be expensive logs, we realize that we should be exporting of those logs, specifically to the markets in China and India. China is the largest log importer in the world. It imports vast quantities of saw logs and other hardwood products every year. The economy in China, as far as the import of logs, represents a funny job at the moment, and again, the price has fallen. But that should increase again over time in the near future. All indications are that it will happen. And so what we're saying is, while we're working on other plans, for the interim period, we will certainly pursue the export of the high-value logs. Economic expansion, as we say, the under review, but just to highlight that, we have 32,000 plantation, 32,000 hectares of plantation area in Mozambique. It's in a very far better condition than what we received or when we got involved with it. But Mozambique has got its own unique challenges, of course, and there's no value in just putting trees. Must do something with that tree. You must have somebody that either pays you a fair price for the product that comes out of those plantations, or you must do something yourself. We've looked at our options as far as that was concerned. And then we also realized, and we actually said that right from the outset, that we don't want more than 2,000 acres is not possible. We need to have a far larger area than the farmer. We've worked for 10 years, we got approval from the Mozambican government to expand our operations over there, and we currently have a leasehold over another 60,000 hectares plus in Mozambique that was granted to us. Of that, we believe we can farm another 45,000 hectares, which should make it an economically viable business over time. But plantation forestry is not a short-term business. You farm today and you hopefully will have a marketable product in 10 to 30 years' time. That's why I said we're under review. We believe, of course, that African expansion and strategy is a very important one to pursue, whether we are of the right size of the company to do it ourselves. That's what we are looking at. Why we want co-generation facility? That's a great facility that's available versus the large lots. We're not realizing the full value for today. We're not realizing the full value. The best way of extracting value out of large logs is to actually make plywood out of it. The market for the product has grown internationally over the last 10 years. And the market is overseas. There's local market for the product, especially used for shuttle ply, where people use it for concrete formwork. The type of plywood that we have in mind is more new and suitable for furniture production. And finishing up with that, once you put up plywood plants, you have to have a lot of cleaning on site. Traditionally, what we do is to turn our downfall product, our chips, our sawdust, all the other products that we generate at the same time, we burn that, we generate steam, use it in the process. So why not just put up a turbine to generate electricity at the same time? Last item is green energy, talks to the cogeneration, but also talks to other things like making solarified jets out of things like sawdust. The product that on the international market is the network is growing. It's the bleeding edge at the moment. It's but that's the movement that or that's the direction that people are moving in on the international authority in the international forestry business. So I feel it is nothing. It's basically almost like a piece of charcoal. It's concentrated the energy content of the residues in the forest.
Thank you very much for the very good presentation and thank you very much for running this industry. It's really good to see this government to bail out and carry the burden of the industry to carry our institution to run it. Even the community itself see and realize that you are the best people to have this more human type of leadership. I think it will be a great advantage to be present in the community. And I think all the things also play a role in ensuring that you, your company, will be even after. I mean, taken somewhere and thank you very much. I'm sure that everyone is up in arms to ask questions. I saw him. I'm going for now. I'm just going to give you some nice questions here. The only question before I'm going to ask is I was thinking that where in the environmental statement is the 48 million reflected in the other one when you was reporting on Mozambique. It's a bit of a problem for me and I would really like to know how taking your business in what time can you see how to make it. If you just can give us a clear indication on this and the implications maybe in some way. And I just want to say over to Member Papu, Member Khai, Member King and then Member Khai, Member Arasakni, Member Nakangu, Lego. I think we can allow the company to apply verbally. They don't need time for this. They don't need to be I think they will be follow-ups after get to change.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me just also welcome and appreciate the presentation. I have quite a number of questions, but when I go to 23 and 24, those questions are falling off. Okay. My first question is that you are a structural resource facility. You don't get any support anyway. But you are holding on your own. But the question was what is the relationship in the Department of Agriculture and the Land Reform and Rural Development? And I have said that the question which they can assist in South Africa is a model that we are using to help a very successful cooperative. Because we have the CPA, which are very, very serious problems in the country. That model, I think, will assist with
maybe the plant has to be protected. And maybe the last one. Is that also of the performance, the non-performance management system? The template is there, which can also assist. Because in some other corporate world, there's what we call the IPMS, which is the integrated performance management system, where at any given time, the appraiser and the appraisee, when you have the in training at any given time, not to wait for the human and other things. We want so much attention to it. So maybe that is a new upgrade system, you know, we can also be able to be open and attentive. Maybe going to my honorable. The question of, you know, some of us as physicians, identified people, irrespective of whether you know what's happening in the economy. As you explained, perhaps you can elaborate on the economy of age. So that's maybe to make some reflection of what you mean by so that you'll be able to. But I would say most of my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Before giving over to you and speaking, I just wonder how it's the president of the education who came in. Sorry, I wanted to, I held it down, but you know, we are so excited when Putin is coming. Obviously, I think it's you also in the department, and we need to be focused. All the other things will come. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. How was the room here? Yeah, I'm also very encouraged by the presentation and the outlook on it. There were a few questions I think politicians would ask, because we are involved with other sectors as well, just not this portfolio. The presentation made reference to budgets of 8+, and the cost concern there is the part of transport is encouraging the private sector to get migrate from road to rail, and what we're encouraging private sector to do that, we have one of our own that we want it to go big time in the road. The concern there is that our road infrastructure, gets damaged, and the kind of material this you are carrying is weight, very weight. So my concern is that you're going on in that direction, going against the grain of another department. Also, the fact that the rail at the moment in our country is, we want to pick it up to the extent where we use more of the rail network. So I'd like to look into that and see if you could have some discussions with that department and see. I'm sure the incentive that might not encourage you to buy these. And I think the department must make incentive so that we start using the rail there. That's one. And the second one that in your presentation, page 41, you had some customers who didn't honor the commitment to purchase. And there was reason for you to probably get rid of that. Now, how do you overcome it when a customer does that? You put in your overstock to the road, and if you then sell it because you are overstocked at a cheaper price. And the last one is that page 39, you have gone into harvesting machine system, and obviously that creates job losses. And on the hand, government is encouraging different creative employment. Yeah, I know sometimes the business is frustrated and because of many reasons. Some things that the machine doesn't complain, but other things the machine is split. But we also must be mindful of the fact that we want to create jobs. Wherever the other departments are in a situation where there's job loss, it's a cause for concern.
Thank you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Let me also attach to those who are welcoming and appreciating this presentation, which was well presented. I also congratulate the entities, the CEO, for chairing the meeting. Even though we were concerned that she was telling us that mostly the executive is new, now the worrying part is that we do not know what happened to the previous one. It shows that there is some high turnover in the company. And we are not sure whether there has been any evidence of abuse conducted for the previous executive. The one incident thing that the previous executive to leave might still be there. And that's also a favor for why those left decided to leave. What is it that is going to stop the current executive from leaving? So if perhaps the CEO could just give us a brief as to what was the secret that led to the item of the executive in particular. But the second one, whether there are any vacant positions that have not yet been filled currently. Then coming back to the core issues, the CEO highlighted the fact that the sector is a 45.5 billion sector. One would be interested to know what is the share of that call here between all the general labs. But also, what role the, whether it should not also just the model that you should also consider. Because she highlighted there was a slight on the, for me, the right hand side, for you to understand that, where there are forest products that you indicated that they are not involved in. What if you should not consider any of the new models to also play a role in the forest products as well? Given that I don't know what is the share of Sahol, is it 45 the billion? For me, I think you do much more. Also, what is about the decision that was taken by government in 1997 to want to move away from the forest industry? Had that is not been taken personally, it's been far in terms of its role in the event. But also with government facilities and the plans that are also wanting to build there, particularly plan that could also play a role in which regards to that, not just empowering communities, but also in terms of transformation. But also, you were raising the fact that your involvement also promotes beneficiation. So if then your role is limited, not beyond your role in the forest border, how are you going to ensure the promotion of efficiency, you know, therefore? So that's why I'm encouraging that the first in the model is you should consider playing a role in the forest product as well. Also, it is also one that there is no recapitulation. It means therefore that you have unfunded money. But also the fact that government is not giving an example, and cannot also consider giving you money beyond what you have, so that you can also explore the role that that you can play in the Fed Cup. My question also relates to the fact that during the process of the privatization, you indicated that there were, I'll make an example about one company that I know in the Eastern Cape, there are other amateur products and so forth. The present assembly that you have there, my question would be, what is your role in terms of governance and management? In the management, in the government, the management structures of these entities. Also, given that you said those facilities were for the communities to play a role, sometimes communities will be in that situation, but they will not have the management skills or even government skills. They are at the mercy of the management. You know, whether there are any benefits. Or is that the facilities that are on paper, but there's nothing that goes to the community? If you can just clarify us on that. Also, the interesting thing is raise this issue of the company in Mozambique. There's very frequent harassment to us. Why is the company not making the diploma, is not making a profit? And I know that's first the next level. Consideration for you would be to close it down, and also what would be the effect to the employment, or rather depending on the company, and also how many workers are employed in the company. You're covering the documentation, the issues of risks and the challenges. One of them is this issue of competition commission issues. You didn't clarify what you mean by that. But also, another we also had other challenges. You can tell us what are the mitigating factors that you are employing. On the issue of the cooperatives as well, there is an indication of cooperatives. Because we are here representing a province, it would have been good if you could have break it down and say, in different cases, there are so many cooperatives, Bumalang, with regard to the issue of land claims, I know there are possible settlement models that you have considered, but I think the issue that the DPE for me, I think that there should be a departmental strategy on how to deal with the issues of land claims, because it's not only subcon. Last week we dealt with Alexco. They are in a similar situation. We may deal with another entity of EPE in future. They will find themselves in a similar situation. I think for me, the shareholder strategy must be developed so that it applies to all the entities. Because you learn now different approaches. For example, in Alexco, the issue was decided by the Constitutional Court because there was no strategy from the department to deal with the situation. Now, even that a Constitutional Court decision is made, very difficult for Alexco to operate. That's why I'm suggesting that the shareholder must develop a strategy on how to deal with issues of land claims. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
Bear with me, I have three documents that I'm working on, and I will raise the questions, and I will just ask my colleagues to get into the answers, because I have a colleague and I got a job, and I don't know if we will get to all the answers. Thank you very much for the presentation, and I also got to talk to my colleagues, it was well done, and we appreciate that. My first question is, I would like to know if the staff of the board can give an idea of if it is a direct benefit or if it's indirect benefit, and if it's direct, what way is the direct benefit for SAPO being part of the big countries? That's the first one. I raised a question here on why the foreign products are not exported in increase, and I
in this whole discussion of a sort of explanation. But I'm still not absolutely clear on that. And I think maybe at a later stage explain this whole process to the committee. I think the green economy and the creation of your own energy is very exciting and very important, I think, for the committee. I would like to know how the self-or will convince or negotiate or whatever word you're going to use there will be the process, is to not to go off the grid or to create your own energy, because that's possible, and then maybe to sell the rest of the energy to the grid, because at this moment I think this is one of the biggest challenges in the country, although we do need that. And I think it would be interesting for us to know that. Then I would like to know, that if you have an asset management strategy or plan that includes a maintenance schedule, because in the annual report there was a reference that production increased in overheads, and that those things had the strikes and the maintenance of machinery was a problem. So I would like to know if you have that. And then I would like to know why are those three companies or they're not companies, they are trailer facilities. Mountain Oceans Forestry comes longer in the museum and why are they being deregistered? Maybe I just missed that, but I would like to know that. And then we could go to this document, I think it's a little bit easier. On slide 24 of the slide 24 that you just did there, I would like to know you've mentioned here option 1 and an option 2. But then we went, or maybe I just don't understand it, but then we go went into the option 1 benefits and activities and the implications and way forward and never ever explained option 2. So do we as the committee assume that option 1 is the option that the board would prefer? It's really difficult for a committee to say this is the right option or this is the right way or this is if you don't have the same kind of implications and whatever of option 2. Page 27. I think there, and I think this is very, very important, and I want to make a suggestion to the committee and to the chair. If we want to help this specific, in our oversight role, help this specific entity, is that they have to focus on the way forward, and as I said there, is that it's necessary for them that inclusion of the turnaround time for research, verification and presentation of those land plans by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. I would suggest that this committee gets these various departments together in front of this committee with a specific focus that should be the whole goal of that meeting is what are you doing, what has happened, why and what not, an explanation to this committee on what has been said here on page 27. To include that in our program, and I think that would help us work out a way to settle that. Then page 30. I just want to know, page 30 maybe, because you know the financial person, I just wanted to have the idea of the cost of sales increase mainly driven by increase in land use rental. Financial performance, revenue, cost of sales, operating expenses, and then it goes on like that.
just a little bit more explanation on that. In verse 34, why do I recollect that the cash flow from investing activities decreased from 2007 to 2014? And I would like to know why, what is the reason, and is it a short-term thing or will that continue in future, and if that is a continuous sort of pattern, while the current thing in South Africa that we sort of want people to invest and companies to invest, if that is the reaction or the result, how is people going to deal with that. Then, page 36, I just want to know more information about the credit card situation. You said that you engaged with the National Treasury on card alternatives. Has that been sorted out? Is there the outcome? And what is the outcome? What is the decision from the National Treasury? And then on page 37, I just want to have an explanation. When you look at page 37 and you compare it with the graph that you gave us on page 29, I would like you explain a little bit here about the old blocks. When we look on page 29, the saw locks for South Africa 32% and saw locks for South Pole is 38% and whole blocks and so on. But now we're there, I can see the old locks that you are referring to, included in there or not. And just explain a little bit these two things in comparison to each other. And then I would like to know, can we get a little bit of more of an explanation on the Mozambique, what is going on, the ending of the harvesting there, what has been achieved there up until now, and what is the time frame for the review? When do you think that the review will be completed so that you can have a clear way forward? And then the final question is, we've heard about what happened in the past, and that the new board is being ready with a turnaround strategy, and then there's a lot of success in that, but is there still a question mark around the future of Supple as it is now, and what is Supple doing about that? And I don't think that would be answered in quick one now, but I'm going to chair for the committee to follow up on that. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for the presentation. And my first question relates to the governance structure where the chairperson is an interim chairperson, just to find out if it's too early for one to expect some priority at the board chairperson level, because this happened last year in June. And then the second question relates to, well, this question has been asked, the implications of the re-reducing of the subsidiary, and as it relates to the job creation and things like that. And the third question is about R1 million that the CFO referred to in terms of the money that that could involve in the fraudulent activities. Somewhere in the annual report, there's a mention of 28, an increase of fraudulent cases from 25 to 28. Is that what is projected? Is this R1 million with regard to those 28 fraudulent activities that are referred to in the presentation? And I think Member Singh, I had written here the relationship between Supcor and Transnet in terms of moving from road to rail. And I would like to know how many employees are affected by the diploma operation and the current
status of you know, being operational. And then the CEO also talked about in the annual report said that the college in part of any forum that has been developing the model, settlement model. I just want to know how far that process is towards finalization and the implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think the question CEO, I think we can start. Department to start answering the questions. But I think don't make it wrong. Keep it short. That's when you have a very good presentation whereby you really express yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The diploma, I would like to start off by diploma. Maybe the first question is the 45.5 billion rand and what is subcost shape. Subcost shape only 2%. So it is a very small percentage of that. In terms of the diploma, was bought by subcost carriers even years ago. There were plans that when it was bought, it was clear that we would need to do a lot of capital injection into the business and it would turn around 2020. That was in the business plan. So there was no expectation that it should be profitable now. However, we are now in the process of, back to the question about what is the time frame. We've done feasibility studies, they have completed. Now we are at the process of saying to the board, on the basis of the feasibility study, here is option one, option two, option three. The next time we come here, we would have already had a decision on the table that would have gone to the DCE and would have been like it's very close to a decision around that. But at this stage, the board is looking at a number of options and on the basis of their impact, it would be a decision would be taken. The other kind of people working with diploma currently, the reason for diploma and the care and maintenance has not affected stock. So what we've done is we've taken people in areas where we've decided to stop operating in and reallocated them within the business. So it has not had any effect at this stage. With respect to the financial impact, diploma is drained on our profitability and on our financial sustainability necessarily because we never went to a bank and got a loan to run a diploma. It's all run via subcost cash. So it's also not sustainable. So even as we become profitable here and we bring a diploma to the future, we become unprofitable. So it is a big issue. The board is taking a very serious view on it and we will be presenting to the board and the department. With respect to the settlement model, we have a model by the board, and I'll take all the questions and I'll sort of try and put them into one. The board has approved a model, which is the option one. But we then said to the board, let's have a look at others. So we have now a new strategy that's reviewing all of them because we want the best for both the company and the community. So currently, option one is the currently approved, but we are still reviewing. Hence, the same option two that we didn't even explain. We do have a really good relationship with the staff and the land reform guys on the settlement model. We are working together with them. We took part of what they said. They took part of what we said. So it is in the process of being reviewed. But what is important is that it really should be led from the department. So the department at this stage is coordinating all of us to come together. But I take the point, I think it's a good point that it should be a departmental strategy. That helps to all of us, so we like that. The issue around settlement management system, we can definitely end the replication of the models of cooperatives, we would be happy to share. So when we leave Julia, we will take the details, we'd be quite happy to share. Economies of scale, I'm going to give an example. Subcourt has 18 plantations, they vary in size. So if these plantations were owned by 18 different people, then we take our case in 2008, one of them burned down, that one plantation. And it's going to take them the next 30 years to replant, to grow, etc. If that was owned by Lomki Sambona, my business would be dead because I don't have the economies of scale in terms of the fact that we are now able to put it into our business because we can cross-subsidize. So the bigger
your business is getting hurt. That's what he meant in terms of that. So it's important to consider in this business, it doesn't have to be the community, a small little plantation. The economy is there and not viable financially. The better it is to become part of the city. And I hope I'll clarify and then in terms of the pensions of capital, we want to agree with honorable things in Africa that we also the same rate, also that the preferred method. However, our rate is not at the level that it could be. It doesn't go to all the areas where it needs to be. There's long haul, there's short haul, so there might be an element of tracking involved, but we also look forward to that future. Where we'll be using rail, because it's really the right thing. The COO and his team have already started talking to the rail guys, even with our export program. So we agree, and the cost will be better, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we're looking for. I'm going to skip the question around the customers not taking products, and I'm going to ask the COO to deal with that just when I finish. The issue around mechanization, about saying that if you then start mechanized, using the candidate then you lose jobs. The DDG 2 weeks ago also asked the same question, saying unpack this for us because if you start mechanizing, what about the job? So we say to him, the work in forestry is tech-breaking work, it's very difficult work. You can only be a chainsaw operator for so long in your life and then your body is gone. So what we say is we have these people higher quality jobs rather than these, you know, very, very minimal, very bad jobs. So we'd rather train our staff and give them better jobs to do, up to them, but at the same time, we've also said to the city, we are not going to lose these jobs because as we beneficiate, and as we basically integrate, we will create opportunities so our people will go there. So there's a whole loop that we've done, and Julia and the department are working on a program where they're really looking at what can we do, and I mean what we can do in the area, is that we do have a good 5% HIV/AIDS prevalence in the company. And tested that, check it out. So it's important that we make sure that those people are able to do the job. So this mechanization is actually a good thing for the company. However, it's also good on the productivity side because once you do that, you also get the productivity up and the whole of the production. The questions that were asked by Honorable Kaiser, the very first question was around with the same thing that made other people leave and not make up leave. I think it's an important question. We think that the first reason is that there was a, around 2012, there was a restructuring of Safcon. And the restructuring then, I remember one of them, as I was coming in, he was walking out. So I said to the choir, he said, you know what, a promotion is a promotion. That means I wasn't calling. So it just affected people differently. They felt, even though financially, they were still going to be really to the same city level, but the effect of the length, you know, they didn't really want to be there. But it's not everybody. A number of other reasons have happened. So we can't really speak with authority on this matter because we are people that have claimed them, so they were gone by the time. And some of them left during our time, but they were already on the way out. But it's an important question. I think it's something that we need to think about. There are no vacancies at the top level, all vacancies have been filled. And as they arrive, we always try to fill them as quickly as possible. So that model, actually the chair of the board, the interim chair, did raise this and saying we need to start looking at other products. So why are you not looking at other products? So we are well towards this, but the thing with forestry is that we must do research, heavy research, plant investigation. It takes time. So some of the things can lengthen journey, but we will only do them at the later stage. Yes, we agree around issues around select industrialists and the role of SAFCOL is an important discussion that we've taken with the department for the last year or so. Now it's getting clearer. The department is listening to us to say this is what we think we should be doing, but we also believe that in terms of our role in the industry, we do need to say to SAFCOL, once you start dealing with your own internal matters, start looking at more of a strategic role in the government, in that entity. In terms of what is that you can do in the country. With respect to the government structure, the communities, etc., this is the issue that comes back about basic to us. Why are you sitting on our phone? Because now you're going to hear our strategies and then you're going to copy them and you're in the opposition. So it's been a really difficult relationship. And hence the CE has been pushing us on this and saying, make sure that you either give it to NAF or anybody else who is not part of the discussion. So it is an issue, and we really, you know, we don't have a lot, but we do have one person sitting on the board on the basis of the
but we're only basically looking after the interest of the shares. That's all we do. And the issue on the Competition Commission, I'd like Francois to respond to that. Please note, Francois. And I'm trying to do some for my colleagues as well. I'd like to speak over with them and see if there's any other one, and then I'll come back because there's quite a lot.
So the question around the 48 million land lease, and I think coupled with that was the question around the cost of sales slide, where we were highlighting an increase in cost of sales from the 2018 to the 2014 year. And we're saying sitting in cost of sales is basically your production expenses, which is your harvesting, your tending, but also in there are overhead costs that are related to the cost of producing the material, which of which the land lease rental are sitting in that cost of sales line. And we were saying basically that comparing from 2016 to 2014, yes, all those other costs increase at any cost of doing business increases from 1 year to up. But one also increases that in 2017 we were paying about 17 million of land lease rentals, and then in 2014 we're basically paying 48 million. Okay, then there was a question around on the cash flow for financing activities, and that basically talks through when we look at ways we can finance our own CapEx projects and operations. We obviously look at education, we utilize our own resources, your own cash flow that we actually go out. So basically in the prior year we had a higher mix of sourcing funding, whether it be from banks, etc., to carry out our CapEx. In the 2014 year, it meant that we utilized more of our resources for those projects. Then there was a question around MTO Kamsabane almost a subsidiary. Why did we deregister them? And basically, it, I think there's about four entities that we deregistered. We classified them as dormant entities. Basically, there were no activities in them. So you find that our staff is basically sitting within the KLF entity, within the diploma, and within staff call. But those entities, there was basically no activity happening. And the only thing that actually happened is that come year end, and even during the year, we have to carry out all the administrative work. So you still have to, produce nice, all the sort of financials. So we need to do all the governance aside on all these entities, and yet there is no activity. So it makes sense as a stakeholder group that we need to focus and actually take it, just focus on the entities where they are operation and then to deal with something. Then there was a question around the credit card. So what we did is we approached National Treasury to ask for exemption. They came back to us and said no, we will not grant exemption. We then approached the various financial institutions to say what are the other SOCs doing to still be able to carry out operations without having the card needs. It took us quite a number of years because I think there were no, for starters, the financial institutions were not that open to say this entity is doing this, but eventually we managed to obtain some alternatives. We then did a detailed motivation to National Treasury to say these are the options we are actually looking at. And those the options basically meant that we have what they term prepaid cash cards. So you basically give the operations the funds that they require for specific expense activities versus having an open debit card.
We see the detailed motivation, breaking down the various regions and who basically needed it for what, and the approval of classes on that basis. Then was a question around the 1 million is in relation to the 28.4 million fraud activities. I think the report that talks to the 28 was it's a portfolio that looks after fraud investigation and audit. Basically, the report is that throughout the year, our investigations have increased from 25 investigations in the previous year to 28 in the 2014 year. And the 1 million was one of those in the investigations, which related to the Mozambican agency. I will now hand over to the COO.
Let's start off with the Competition Commission issue first. I'll have to remind my mother that someone responded. It's a long drawn out process that we've been involved in for a number of years. We have spent a lot of time as a business answering questions and having being interrogated by the Competition Authority of the country. We always participate in the process, we give full cooperation, we do what we have to do to defend the company fully, of course, and to see to it that we handle these things. However, as a business, of course, it's only being a small business, it could be that your attention gets distracted by having to continue to answer questions about what you're doing as a business. Most of this of the interest now stems from the fact that we only process 25% of our solar. 75% of our solar are sold in the open market as we speak today. We are deemed to be dominant by the competition authorities in this country due to our role that we play in the solar sales market. Other companies like York, listed company in South Africa, they're fully integrated. And I'm stealing away from Mondi and Chappie for the moment because those companies are mostly in the field of pulp and all the chemical pulp, etc., dissolving pulp and all sorts of products that we are not really playing a big role in at the moment. Companies that could be viewed similar to us would be, of course, DG Forest Products, Artoline and Eden Cape, NGO and Western Cape, but those are far smaller than us if you take into account the landholding. Or the air plantation quality and also the processing output. So we sell a lot of our solar, and we, in the process, of course, we have to try and capture the value of those lots. And because sawmills in South Africa are really inefficient, to say the least, costs are just too high. And please allow me just to explain one thing. If I have a sawmill that consumes a certain amount of electricity, I actually have a person, we refer to him as a formal engineer, he's a competent person in terms of the debt, of the law, of the act, and that are applicable, and these people are quite expensive. It's difficult to get a person like a formal engineer to work for us in the program. We've recently been through the process to appoint a new person, and they always take not very long with us before they even get to the comment. They're high demand in the country, you pay really, I tell you for these people, you have to have them according to them. And whether I've got a sawmill that processes 1 million cubic meters of log per annum or 100,000, I still have that person. Just my job. Other things would be, it comes to the scale of electricity consumption. Half of our electricity bill is our own sawmill, and please, I do not want to bore you with these details, so it's, just want to highlight this quickly. Half of our electricity bill at Tumalola goes to peak demand. That's what we pay to switch those machines on for a few seconds per month. We'll pay half an electricity bill very in the municipality that we get our electricity from. There's a bigger electricity consumer up in that area, and our machine equipment is old. So when I start up the one line which consumes about, it's got 6 to 172 watt motors on it. If I switch that on for a few seconds a month, I pay half my electricity bill. Modern sawmilling equipment uses the same size of electric motor, but Kaposi is three times the volume to that in the size of the book, and without a major market. Economies of scale. We are just too expensive informally in South Africa. Us, and everybody that buys logs from us basically at this time. Hence what happens is, or despite the fact that our saw log prices in South Africa, which was on par with international prices around 2008, in dollar terms, for softwood saw logs, we were on par. It's now dropped down, where we are currently $50 below the international price of $85 per cubic meter. So we dropped down, and our price is lower in the international terms than what it used to be. Yet, the South African lumber prices are the highest in the world at the moment. So the saw product is really expensive to the consumers in that way, or to the middleman. And what happens now is that despite cheaper logs and a very high sales price for sawmills in general in this country, people are not very profitable. So what they do is they can't push back the issue. They push back to the saw log supply. And that push back you will get in the form of a competition which is equipment, because people always complain about the saw log. That's the big interest in our business. As my CEO mentioned, it's really difficult to make money in this business of ours if you are only a tree farmer. If you are selling this tree in an immature market, which we are, you find it difficult to make money. So we have to push the prices, and that's the alternative we have. We have to put cost of production for our customers on the line. I don't want to talk to you about customers not honoring the commitments on solar offtake. Now, one might wonder why we need to get the report, because every day people don't always honor all the commitments. The unique situation we face, and I think after that thing about big logs and large logs at the same time, we have trees at a certain time. And in that tree, we have trees from a really large diameter butt log, the ones up to the ground, to a similar log up there, 30 meters plus up in there. Customers would want to buy or normally buy a certain part of the tree. And what we do all the time, we must figure out a way to satisfy the demand of the whole tree at a time. Because simply we can't sell a tree to sell any of the money. So when we sell a tree, we need to make sure that we got it. Because normalize, as I said earlier, and I emphasize the point, people have protected the asset with their lives literally. People died in forest fires internationally. And having had more than 500 fires in a 3 month period last year, we have every year, people protected the asset. So a lot of people, it's important to them not to work. So what happens is we come into the customer to the middle part, and we have two customers, top and bottom, and what do? We might have to lose the whole sale relationship. So in our life, optimization plays a big role, and hence we mention it in our report. And when customers renege on the offtake, we try to find other customers for that product, or we process it ourselves, or we there are many different ways that we handle that.
In my mind, I don't know. If you do do anything in the waste, breaking benefits down for this product. So what have you done? It's in case in the overall, you know, etc., etc. We call it a not have a footprint in all the provinces. Up to now, it's getting difficult for us to say this was not done in the province where we don't open. We focus a lot on three provinces that we open. For instance, in the same case, we tell us there's about 100,000 hectares that could be planted from this forest. That's something that we need to go in and look at now. So how we've done in terms of benefits here in the Western Hemisphere is that when you talk to the companies like the CDCs, the circulators, and the MCOs, to say to them, can we encourage you to do something for the community? you know that it has not been forthcoming as much, but now the main players have gone with the PYC. So it's difficult for us to say in the provinces where we have not operated this working time, but in the provinces where we operated this time in rainwater, we can even send the report to the respective members so that they are able to report to their constituency. The last issue with the PYC was around the recapitalization that was raised again, saying it is an issue that we will not be recapitalized, especially now that we have strategies that require about 4.5 billion if we were to test the ground. We can also study, we will find this amount, but we will go to the market, we will go to the DFI, but it's also something that we need to start thinking about how it is that it can assist us in making sure that we do this, because if we don't, this company is not going to survive for long. We do need to do the new practice, but otherwise we can see a rise on reported and a forecast that says if nothing changes by a certain time, we're going to have to go back and do that data. But as we said, we are still running our own financials. We're not really want to be, even in terms of our own profitability and also productivity, but we're working towards the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was worried there for a moment that you're not going to have a chance to say he was, and my apologies again for coming in late, putting the big hectic out there to the event today. There were two questions asked of the department. I'm going to respond to those in a moment. But before I do so, I just wanted to make a few remarks. And really, I hope I'm not applying my own name here, considering the favorable reception that some confirmation that has gotten from the member. From our side, we are really concerned about the medium to long term sustainability. We have engaged with the regions to say that we should have plans on how they are going to work themselves out of what is really a negative trend that we find ourselves in. And we are hoping that we get those concrete plans soon from the business, hopefully before the end of this financial year. On the issue of recapitalization, I just want to say to the numbers, we need to up our standards. These entities should not expect to be built out to be capitalized by government. Government definitely has a lot of challenges that it has to address. This particular business is the plant, the 4.8 billion rand that the CEO has spoken about. If those plans are good enough, anything should be able to fund them. And there is from our side that we encourage all our SOCs to do it. Only those whose balance sheets are not in a position to approach the banks that we have had to recapitalize. But that is not what we want to encourage of our SOCs. Now coming to the questions that have been asked, in regard to the land bank, there was a point made on the similarity of the situation that has caused funds itself in the Alexco. The two situations are not the same. Subcourt land is state land, which is administered by DAF. And as a department, we are very much involved in that process. We have a task team, a joint task team, to both DAF and rural development to resolve this issue. And the situation is going to get worse. The land banks have been opened now, 51%, and the land bank is going to be 100% going forward. What we expect is the SOC is to come up with its own plan in terms of ensuring that they build up a favorable relationship with the community, such that whenever those things are settled, the subcall continues to be a preferred partner for those communities. That's really our position on that one. But I must just add as well that in the unit we have a team, and then management that SOC in terms of where land is being sold or land whether there are other challenges, whether there is a need for another entities like schools we need to access our land. We have a unit that manages that. We do have proper plans in place and people to manage this. On the point regarding the interim chairperson, that chairperson has all the powers of a full-time chairperson. And all our SOCs the minister has reviewed those bonds, and of course, in due course, when all the reviews have gone through cabinet, there will be a permanent decision made. But as of today, that chairperson may exercise the full power of the chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Another question is that in that matter is since of implementing, I don't know what I'm talking about. The master room is something in English. I don't know what to call it. This is a system. I heard of it so many times. This came out of my own maybe explain to us more about it now than I do.
It's certainly something that is considered for even an e-cell project, to go for that, similar to the honey collection, deep cooking, etc. It's something we're encouraging, but today, it's so far, over all the years that I've been in the company, I've never seen an successful project that has actually worked. So the raw material is very seasonal, of course, spread out by the large area, and it's always kept in mind, whenever we allow too many people into your plantation area, given all the fires and other problems there, you might just cause more than. So, not discarding it, certainly there, derogatively, but so far, I mean, it's not much too viable for people to extract it.
Thank you very much, the President, also to the host and the team and the division for the response to our questions. That said, maybe in future where the present meeting is made, it should also where you identify the challenges, but also be able to tell us what are the mitigating challenges. I raised that question, but only the issue of competition committee that was reported to whatever. I'm not saying that we should report it now, but I know it's check local. But that should be the presentation in future.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other follow-up?
No, thank you. It's an appreciation more than a question. I've been thinking of the supply and demand. You are aware of being creative and innovative as you are having oversupply, where the consumer will really change in terms of the price, because the demand is so low compared to the supply. In going the route of establishing a cooperative that can run as an entity in the manufacture, thinking of that maybe perhaps a big problem where they're not pricing in order to also assist in terms of the job creation. Maybe you should also think of that. So the issue of transportation will also end up consuming the profit, or perhaps the establishment of such entity be not far from the plantation, so that when you deliver, it should be a finished product that can be sent to other areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That point is the issue of the mandate and the funding of the mandate of the entities RSTP. I suggest that we should revisit this issue when we meet with the CDE itself. You know, sometimes you know these entities have sometimes your money, commercial and development. For now, I'm not going to raise the question. When we meet with the CDE, I think that your money must be able to answer and the role of the CDE in terms of funding the entities.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members, and this concludes the business of our overday. Thank you, discordant. I don't know whether you would like to say something in DG, but we are really very much ready for the rest of the day. We look forward to coming and improve ourselves. I got the legacy report, the select committee did let us know too, but for us, we would love to come and see what you do. Thank you. Not in this term, in this quarter, the next quarter, maybe we will see what we can do, but we will let you know. Thank you very much. Ladies, thanks. I organize the food early because normally it's coming very late, and then you have to meet some of you and to take the flight and then we'll out with you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I